So today I'm going to talk a little bit about some research. It's basically ongoing in our laboratory. I think maybe forever will I be trying, along with my co-authors, to figure out how to measure water content or water potential better. And it's certain that wherever I go and whoever I talk to, people have ideas about measuring water potential and places that we ought to think about making better sensors to measure that. And just of late, people are saying, you know, I've seen your measurements here and there, but really where you ought to be focusing on is in the 0 to negative 20 kilopascal range, especially in places like landslide detection, where we have a buildup of water and eventually make a positive pore water pressure, that being able to tell very accurately the water potential at that time as we approach saturation is pretty important to be able to communicate the danger. There are obviously other applications where we can talk about, I've already heard about roadbed monitoring, talk about subsurface water flow, where we know that the water generally flow in the subsurface is mostly, when we have a near zero water potential, that's when flow occurs most generally. Less and less as we dry, and also in irrigation control, we can talk about things, especially as the soil gets more sandy, the plant water, the really usable range is not much beyond negative 20 kilopascals. Is that there's not much water available. So when you turn and look at say, okay, what sensors do we have out there that can measure effectively this range? We've got a lot to choose from. But I've tried to put on this graph just some of the concerns where we have water potential down here in negative kilopascals. I think one of the best ways to measure this would be the tensiometer. Very, very accurate and very useful for this situation. But let's say we stuck it out on some installation and decided to try to use that. After a while, we'd probably run into problems because eventually we'd cavitate that tensiometer, it would require refill. We've got a bunch of other players in this area up here, all very useful sensors, some covering a very wide range of water potentials, but the basic problem is this right here, which is the error entry potential of these measurement devices that really we're not going to get close to that zero water potential that may be very useful in some situations. And so the approach is pretty simple, and it's not like it's a new one by any stretch. All we're talking about is measuring the volumetric water content of some matrix and then inferring the water potential from the moisture release curve. And a good paper on this by Raith and Orr back a few years ago in 2001 talked about this reference porous media that could be used. This basically requires a consistent matrix, so you have a lot of choices as you go in there. For example, you've got your sintered glass matrix. These are very interesting and possibly useful, but from a study we did back in 2003 that I'll show in a moment, we had difficulty finding a consistent sintered glass matrix. We can think about a ceramic that we've used and also that Campbell Scientific uses in their heat dissipation sensor. Those are used consistently, but they have this high air entry potential and can be a little bit difficult to use and keep consistent as well. So another idea we had, we were over talking to Danny Orr a while back, and we were thinking about this as well. Why not just use some glass beads? We've got a lot of glass beads out there. You can really get a wide variety of bead sizes. Why don't we see if we can build one of these one of these measurement systems to measure water potential in that near zero range with glass beads? So that was our goal, 0 to 20 kilopascals, a really simple method that required no maintenance, could give us that high accuracy that we're looking for, and a high sensitivity. So as I said, we did this work back in 2003 where we got some of these sintered glass matrices. We picked a whole variety of pore size distribution, and we decided to try to figure out, can we actually make a sensor out of these sintered glass matrices? I learned two things from this project. One, it was pretty difficult to do. because here are some pictures of our work there. Although we got consistent curves out of individual sensors, the actual center glass matrices were difficult. When we'd switch in a new matrix of the same pore size distribution from the manufacturer, we couldn't reproduce the curve. What you're seeing here are the same sensor run at different equilibration times. Here's the sensor output, and this is the water potential. And then here we have the sensor output over time graphed against the soil water potential that we were measuring. And so, yes, we learned a little bit. We could do this. The other thing that I learned from this experience was never to leave your computer in the car, because you can see these are bad pictures. Somebody stole my computer, and I ended up having to take pictures of my poster in 2003 so I could show you what we did, because someone in Spokane has all my data. We've moved on quite a bit now in terms of technology that we can offer quite a bit of choice in terms of what we can do to these sensors. Right now, we can put a microprocessor on a sensor that we can store calibrations. We can read multiple parameters, and we can even set something up so if we had different bead sizes and other things, we could input the parameters for those particular bead sizes and then make a calibration right on the sensor itself, and not really have to worry about some manufacturer calibration that we'd have to go access and apply after the fact. And we also stepped along a little bit in our measurement methods. Doug already talked a little bit about the pressure plate analysis. That was hard. It took a long time, and our data weren't particularly good out of that system. We decided to try to figure out another method to do this, and one thing that we were presented with some friends of ours in Germany was to, why don't you just produce a vacuum pump and apply, make a chamber in which you put in a one-bar high-flow ceramic, and then we can put the glass beads inside that ceramic. This water is sitting inside the chamber, and through this ceramic, it can easily diffuse into the glass beads around the sensor. And then with a vacuum pump, we can control the water potential in those glass beads. And that actually works quite effectively. And we have a setup now, not the most fabulous pictures. It's a little dirty after our experiment. But we have a sensor here that we constructed. Here you can see the glass beads show up right there. We've got some replication of what we did in different glass bead sizes that we put in these ceramics and then pulled this vacuum and produced the water potentials in each one of these chambers. Here you can see our larger setup. We had a large group of these. We made 15 chambers. That means we could calibrate these sensors fairly effectively. And then we had a control where we could just monitor the sensor output over time. And we didn't do this particularly in the data I'm going to show, but we can actually tell when we've reached an equilibrium and then actually go to the next suction, which saves my technician staying there all night, which he really appreciates. So just a few results, and really this is some work we've been working on for a little while now, but we haven't got long into the results of what we found. What I'm showing here is basically several different mixtures of glass beads. Glass beads come in some standard sizes, and so where you see our standard sizes here, and then we made some mixtures of the glass beads and finally grabbed one of those ancient center glass matrices that we used in our 2003 experiment. Most of them my technician threw away, but I did find one, and we threw it into this experiment just so we could benchmark a little bit about what we'd done. So here on the x-axis, we had the water potential that we induced by that vacuum, and here's the sensor output. And mostly what we learned about the size of glass beads we have here is that, well, we can really make a good sensor that can drive between 0 and 5 kilopascals, negative 5 kilopascals, but basically nothing but this mixture here at 0.045 to 0.85 millimeters, and our old center glass friend here really held any water in it after about negative 5 kilopascals. So then we stepped further and said, okay, we got to sharpen our pencil a little bit. We have about 40 bags of different sizes of glass beads. Technician went and mixed some of those together, and here we have some mixtures of those glass beads in our chamber. A much larger range now from 0.045, so we've gone much smaller, all the way up to just now 0.25. So these glass beads are quite a bit smaller, and you don't have to be really even know what I'm talking about to at least know that yeah, we're going to hold water a little bit longer. And indeed, we did. Here's the output of the sensor. This was just a time experiment. Here's the vacuum that we put it under, and you can see these different glass beads kind of releasing their water over time. Put it together again, these results, into a similar graph to the first one I showed here. Again, we have sensor output here and the chamber water potential here. And here's the glass beads, the larger glass beads, desaturating and completely emptying of water quite quickly. But what we found was that as we drop down here, especially in this case, we found a quite nice range over which we lost the water, a little bit of water loss here between 0 and 5, and kept losing across the range till they got to negative 20 kilopascals, with obviously the most water loss right there between negative 5 and negative 15. So this is more preliminary results from this testing. We've kind of developed this idea and looked at these glass beads a little bit more lately than we were originally going to use the Sinner glass matrix again. But we found these reference porous media, like these glass beads, continue to hold promise for in situ measurements between 0 and negative 20 kilopascals. These glass beads are quite nice because they can go to a uniform packing density. So it's pretty interesting that maybe we could make something to just go pack out in the field in some standard soil, make a little setup to measure this without too much effort. And because we're using glass beads, you'd be amazed if you go start searching. We can actually get a very wide range of glass bead sizes. So we could set this up and mix it fairly easily just in the laboratory. But as my data should make obvious, it's still going to take us a little bit of time, and more research is necessary to really optimize the size of these glass beads and really figure out how consistent we could make this and if we actually tried to do this out in the field. So I'd ask for any questions if you have them.
Okay. Many thanks. Okay. Questions? Yeah. Go. It's you. Yeah.
Go ahead, Clark.
What effect does, if you're using those in soil, you're going to get surface contaminants, soluble organics
right.
That are going to change.
Sure.
The wetting and everything.
Yep.
So you're working at a very low range of hydraulic tension, shall we say.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good question. What's going to happen when we put it out there in the soil and we get all the clay fines moving in to kind of change that curve? And that's something we've been thinking about. How do we actually make this so that we can keep the fines out while keeping our matrix consistent? And I'll say, well, we haven't got there yet. We're going to test some stuff. But it was a nice situation where we could use our nice little ceramic there and keep all the baddies out. But we haven't done that yet. Yeah, a great question.